typed something. Chime. She looked at her phone. We're running out of time. Georgie thought for a second, then thumbed in a reply. I know, I'm sorry. When Seth looked back at her, his eyebrows were crowded together over his brown eyes. She felt herself tearing up. He tilted his head, then scrunched his nose unhappily. Seth hated it when Georgie cried. He went back to the phone again, typing rapidly. Talk to me.
I can't. I wouldn't know where to start.
I don't care where you start.
She wiped her eyes on her shoulder. Seth sighed.
Georgie, whatever it is, we'll get through it.
She stared down at her phone. After a few seconds, an emergency contact popped up on the screen and it started to ring. It was just the standard ring, marimba. Georgie never had time to figure out special ringtones. She grabbed her laptop and stood up, answering the call and walking toward the door, careful not to close the computer or unplug the phone. Hello?
Meow.
Georgie felt a cold surge of disappointment, then felt guilty about it. You're not supposed to feel a cold surge of disappointment at the sound of your 4-year-old daughter's voice.
Meow,
Georgie said, leaning against the wall outside the writer's room.
Grandma said I could call you,
Numi said.
You can always call me.
How are you, sweetie? Did you make me some cookies?
No. Oh, that's okay. Maybe Grandma did. I made some for Santa and some for me.
That was smart. I'll bet they're delicious.
Meow,
Numi said.
I'm a green kitty.
I know, Georgie tried to focus. You're the best green kitty in the world. I love you so much, Numi.
You're the best mommy in the world, and I love you more than milk and fish bones and... What else do kitties like?
Yarn, Georgie said.
Yarn,
Numi giggled.
That's crazy.
Georgie took a calming breath. Numi, is Daddy there?
Uh-huh.
Can I talk to him?
No.
Georgie knocked her head back against the wall.
Why not? He's sleeping. He said we can't even go upstairs to pee.
Georgie should tell Numi to do it anyway. Neil was her husband, and she hadn't talked to him for 3 days, or 13 hours, or 15 years. Georgie sighed. Okay, can I talk to Alice?
Alice is playing Monopoly with Grandma.
Right.
I have to go. My hot chocolate is cold now.
Meow, Georgie said.
Meow, meow. Love you, green kitty. Meow, meow, mommy. I love you even more than yarn.
Numi hung up. There's a magic phone in my childhood room. I can use it to call my husband in the past. My husband who isn't my husband yet. My husband who maybe shouldn't be my husband at all. There's a magic phone in my childhood bedroom. I unplugged it this morning and hid it in the closet. Maybe all the phones in the house are magic. Or maybe I'm magic. Temporarily magic. Ha, time travel pun. Does it count as time travel if it's just my voice traveling? There's a magic phone hidden in my closet, and I think it's connected to the past, and I think I'm supposed to fix something. I think I'm supposed to make something right. When Georgie got back to the writer's room, Seth looked like he was at the end of his rope. He'd unbuttoned his shirt an extra button, and his hair was sticking up around his ears and at the back of his neck. She stood at the whiteboard and took charge of the outline. It wasn't that hard. They'd been talking about these characters for years. They just needed to get their ideas into writing, wrestle them into a few workable scripts. Georgie could do this in her sleep. Sometimes she did do it in her sleep. She'd wake up in the middle of the night and hang off the side of her bed, scrounging around for a piece of paper. She never remembered to put a notebook by the bed when she was lucid. Neil would stir in his sleep and reach for her hips, pulling her back onto the bed.
What are you looking for?
Paper, she'd say, leaning off the bed again. I have an idea I don't want to forget. She'd feel his mouth at the base of her spine.
Tell me, I'll remember.
You're asleep too. He'd bite her.
Tell me.
It's a dance, she'd say. There's a dance, and Chloe, the main character, will end up with one of her mom's old prom dresses, and she'll try to fix it to make it cool, like in Pretty in Pink, but it won't be cool. It'll be awful. And something embarrassing will happen at the dance to try a little tenderness.
Got it.
Neil would pull her back onto the bed, into him, holding her in place.
Dance, dress, try a little tenderness. Now go back to sleep.
And then he'd push up Georgie's pajama shirt, biting her back until neither of them could go back to sleep. And then, eventually, she'd drift off with his hand on her hip and his forehead pressed into her shoulder. She'd get out of the shower the next morning, and it would be written in the steam on the mirror. Dance, dress, try a little tenderness. Georgie shook her head and looked up at the whiteboard and tried to remember where she'd left off. The night that Neil told her about his girlfriend, fucking of course he had a girlfriend, Seth took Georgie home, then went back to the Halloween party. Georgie stayed up listening to her mom's Carole King albums and wrote a really angsty monologue for one of her theater classes. That was back when she still thought about performing someday, before she'd decided that she had a better face and brain for the writer's room.
Why would you want to act anyway?
Was Seth's take on the subject.
Stand there and say other people's words? Let everybody else tell you what to do? Actors are just beautiful puppets.
If that's true, Georgie'd said, you sure date a lot of puppets. Georgie didn't really want to act. She wanted to do stand-up, but she hated bars. That was a problem. Also, she wanted to get married and have a family. Seth said nothing beat writing for TV.
It's comedy with health insurance, he said,
and big houses and cars and sunshine. The morning after the Halloween party, Georgie picked up bagels on the way to Seth's frat house. She passed last night's girl, the lovely Brianna, again, in the hallway. Brianna looked surprised to see Georgie. Georgie just nodded, as if they were co-workers. When she got to Seth's room, his hair was wet, and he was changing his sheets. Gross, she said.
What's gross?
This.
You'd rather I didn't change my sheets?
I'd rather you got all this... girls, sheets, shower, taken care of before I showed up, so I don't have to think about you having sex. Seth paused, holding the sheet in the air with both hands, and grinned.
Is that what you're thinking about?
Georgie sat down at his desk, ignoring him. He was a senior, so he didn't have a roommate. She turned on his computer and watched him make his bed. He really was gorgeous. Intentionally so. Most guys just walk around with nothing but raw material. Pretty eyes, bad hair, ill-fitting clothes. Most guys didn't even know what they had to offer. But Seth was like a girl. He was a better girl than Georgie. He knew what his strengths were. He let his coppery brown hair grow long enough to shine and curl. He wore pale colors that made his skin look tan. He presented himself to you, to everyone. Here I am. Look at me. Georgie looked. She watched. And nothing stirred in her stomach. She didn't take any special thrill in being here, being the one Seth wanted to see when he was done with the lovely whomever. Neil had cured her of Seth. Now, what would cure her of Neil?
And why was she only attracted to guys who were sleeping with somebody else? If Georgie were a wild animal, she'd be a genetic dead end. Seth fell onto the bed and turned on the TV. Animaniacs. Georgie threw him his bagel. So, he said, unwrapping it. Feeling any better this morning? She put her feet up on his desk and watched the show. I'm fine. When the episode was over, Georgie turned to the computer and opened a file. Aside from their column and Georgie's horoscopes and their duties as managing editors, they also wrote a regular movie review parody for The Spoon, Your Mom Reviews. It ran with a photo of Seth's mom. This week, they were doing Trainspotting. Seth was still watching cartoons. He has a girlfriend, Georgie said. Seth's face jerked toward her, his eyebrows lowered. This whole time? Apparently. He turned off the TV and was up off the bed, pulling another chair next to Georgie and sitting on it backwards. Fuck him, he said, elbowing her. I'm telling you, it wasn't meant to be. Since when do you believe in meant to be? Since fucking ever, Georgie, pay attention, I'm a romantic. Just ask the parade of Saturday morning girls. Parades are romantic. Who doesn't love a parade? They worked on the movie review until it was time for Seth to go to work, to his other job, at the J. Crew factory store. He tried extra hard to make Georgie laugh, and when he leaned on her shoulder while she typed, she mostly let him. By the time she walked out of the frat house, she felt better about Neil and his inevitable girlfriend. No, that wasn't true. She still felt terrible about that, but she felt better about life. At least Georgie was probably going to be one of those cool single women, one with an interesting job and a dashing best friend and good hair. She could probably have halfway decent one-night stands if she loosened up her standards. She felt utterly terrible again as soon as she saw Neil sitting at the bus stop across the street. A bus pulled up. When it drove away, Neil was still sitting there, staring right at her. He held up his hand and motioned for her to come over. Georgie folded her arms and frowned. Neil stood up. She should just ignore him, walk straight to her car, leave him hanging. What was he doing here anyway? Neil beckoned her again. Georgie frowned, looked both ways, then half ran across the street. She slowed down when she got close to him. Fancy meeting you here, she said, stupidly.
Not really, he said. I've been waiting for you.
You have?
Yeah.
Georgie narrowed her eyes. Neil looked tired and intent, and surprisingly pink in the daylight. I'm trying to figure out if that's weird, she said.
I don't really care if it is.
He took a step toward her.
I knew you'd be here, and I needed to tell you something.
You could have called, she said.
Right.
Neil tore off the first page of his notebook and handed it to her. There was a sketch of the cypress tree in front of Seth's frat house. Also, a skunk driving an AMC Gremlin. And then Neil's name, Neil G, and a phone number. Georgie took the piece of paper with both hands.
I just needed to tell you.
He swallowed and pushed his bangs out of his face, even though they were too short to be in the way.
I don't have a girlfriend anymore.
Georgie swallowed too. You don't? He shook his head. That was fast, she said. Neil huffed out half a breath and just barely shook his head again.
It really, really wasn't.
Okay, Georgie said.
So?
Neil looked determined.
I wanted you to know. that. And also, I thought maybe we could try again. Or just try, you know, go out or something, someday, now that I don't have a girlfriend.
A smile snuck out of Georgie's mouth. She tried to catch it. Neil didn't have a girlfriend. This may even be a direct result of Georgie herself. And even though she didn't consider herself a homewrecker, even though she didn't particularly want to date a guy who kissed other girls, then ran home to break up with his girlfriend, Georgie did want to date Neil. Or maybe she just wanted to rub faces again.
"I'd like that," she said.
Neil's head tipped forward. In relief, she thought. He bit his bottom lip and exhaled.
"Good."
"Good," Georgie repeated.
She took a step away, past him, actually. Her car was just there, not even half a block up.
"Okay," she said, waving his number awkwardly at him.
He waved back, then pushed his hands into his jeans pockets. Georgie took a few more steps, then turned around.
"Yeah, okay. How about now?"
"What?"
"How about we try again now?"
"Now."
She started walking back to him.
"Yeah, I mean, I could pretend that I need to think about this and that I don't want to rush into anything, but I'm really not good at all that. I'm much better at rushing in.
And it's not like you just left your wife." "We were engaged," Neil said, like he was duty-bound to say it.
Georgie stopped.
"Oh, God, you were?"
"Not recently," he said, pained. "We were engaged. Then we were just dating. Then we were spending some time apart."
"What were you last night?"
"Spending some time apart."
"So last night, you actually didn't have a girlfriend?"
Neil winced.
"That seemed like a technicality at the time."
"When did you break up?"
"This morning."
"You woke up this morning and immediately went to break up with your girlfriend?"
"I called her."
"No." Georgie covered one eye. "Don't tell me you did it over the phone."
She really didn't want to go out with a guy who might break up with her someday over the phone. Neil pushed his hair out of his face.
"I had to. She's in Nebraska."
"Nebraska?" He nodded, biting his lip again. "How long have you been together?"
"Had been together," Neil said. "Since high school."
"Jesus," Georgie said. "You broke up with your high school sweetheart / fiancé for me?"
"Not my fiancé," he said, "anymore. And not just for you."
Georgie frowned. Now that she wasn't the reason, she kinda wanted to be.
"We were going to break up anyway," he said.
She frowned some more.
"I mean," Neil said, "we'd been talking about trying again, but then I met you, and I figured that if I felt the way I feel about you, maybe that was pretty solid evidence that she and I should break up."
"I don't think I've ever heard you say so many words in a row," Georgie said.
"I'm a bit off my game."
She smiled. "A bit." "I throw you off your game?"
"Christ,"
he muttered.
"Yes. Welcome to me staying up all night, then breaking up with my high school girlfriend for you."
She stepped closer to him. "Not just for me." Georgie really was terrible at playing hard to get, or even playing reasonable to get. She had zero game.
"You are 100% of the reason I did it this morning," Neil said.
That shouldn't make Georgie happy. How terrible would it be to be that poor girl in Nebraska, to know that your boyfriend broke up with you first thing in the morning so he could rush off to be with somebody else? Georgie pictured a blonde girl with tear-stained cheeks standing in the middle of a lonely prairie. Are you sad? She asked him, sincerely. Do you need to go home and listen to all your mixed tapes and think about this chapter of your life closing?
Maybe, he said. I think I just need some sleep.
Okay, just... How was she supposed to avoid kissing Neil when his mouth was right there at mouth level all the time? She didn't even have to stand on tiptoe. Georgie took hold of the front of his sweatshirt and leaned in. She kissed him on the cheek. Thank you, she said, before she pulled back again. For telling me.
Call me,
Neil whispered. I will.
Call me before you think you should.
I'll call you tonight. Georgie grinned all the way to her car. Neil didn't have a girlfriend. For like the next 3 hours, at least. She called him that night. Then she took him to Versailles, down on Venice Boulevard, for garlic chicken and fried plantains. Neil didn't know about anything cool in Los Angeles. He spent all his time at his apartment or on campus or on the water, which he hated. Which he hated in practice. Neil loved the concept of the ocean. He was practically animated once you got him talking about sea life and coral. Nobody would ever describe Neil as fully animated or expressive. His thoughts didn't play across his face like light on water. Which meant Georgie cataloged every flinch, every flick of his eyes, and tried to figure out what they meant. This seemed like a great way to spend the rest of her life. Neil wasn't sure how to spend the rest of his life. He joked about being tragically bad with big decisions. He'd decided to study oceanography because nothing else appealed to him, and then he'd ended up stuck in California for 4 years. When he and his high school girlfriend, her name was Dawn, Prairie Dawn, drifted apart freshman year, Neil's solution was to propose to her.
I'm not good at knowing what I want, he said at the end of the night, at the beginning of the morning.
They were sitting on the beach, and Neil was holding Georgie's hand.
I'm not usually good at wanting things.
The sand was damp, and there was a cool breeze. Georgie was using it as an excuse to sit too close to him. She was wearing her blue and green plaid skirt and her red Doc Martens boots, and she was pushing her knee into his thigh because the reality of Neil without a girlfriend, Neil who said he liked her, was just too much to leave be. Then we'll get along fine, she said, because I'm extra good at wanting things. I want things until I feel sort of sick about them. I want enough for 2 normal people at least.
Really?
Neil said. That's what he always said when he didn't have anything to say and he just wanted to keep her talking. There was a smile that went with it. Sort of a mocking smile that would have seemed mean if his eyes weren't shining. Really? She said.
What do you want?
He asked. It would have been too easy and too cheesy to say you, even if it was top of mind right at the moment. I want to write, Georgie said. I want to make people laugh. I want to create a show, and then another show, and then another show. I want to be James L. Brooks.
I have no idea who that is.
Philistine.
He's a Philistine?
And I want to write a book of essays. And I want to join the kids in the hall.
You'll have to pretend you're a man,
Neil said. And a Canadian, she agreed.
And you'll have to do lots of sketches where you're in drag as a man, in drag as a woman. It'll be very confusing.
I'm up for it, Neil laughed. Almost. He smiled, and his shoulders and chest twitched. And I want a Crayola caddy, Georgie said.
What's a Crayola caddy?
It's this thing they made when we were kids, kind of a lazy Susan with crayons and markers and paints.
I think I had one of those.
Georgie yanked on his hand. You had a Crayola caddy?
I think so. It was yellow, right? And it came with poster paints. I think it's still in our basement.
I've wanted a Crayola caddy since 1981, Georgie said. It's all I asked Santa Claus for, 3 years in a row.
Why didn't your parents just buy it for you?
She rolled her eyes. My mom thought it was stupid. She bought me crayons and paint instead.
Well, he lowered his eyebrows thoughtfully. You could probably have mine.
Georgie punched his chest with her clasped hands. Shut up! She knew it was stupid, but she was genuinely thrilled about this. Neil Grafton, you have made my oldest dream come true. He held her hand to his heart. His face was neutral, but his eyes were dancing. He whispered,
What else do you want, Georgie?
Two kids, she said. A boy and a girl. But not until my TV empire is underway. His eyes got big.
Christ.
Also, a house with a big front porch, and a husband who likes to take driving vacations. And a car, obviously, with a roomy back seat.
You really are spectacular at this.
And I want a Disneyland annual pass, and a chance to work with Bernadette Peters, and I want to be happy, like 70 to 80% of the time. I want to be actively, thoughtfully happy. Neil was rubbing their hands into his blue sweatshirt. It said, North High Wrestling, take 'em down, Vikes. His jaw was tight, and his blue eyes were almost black. And I want to fly over the ocean, she said. He swallowed and reached out to touch her face with his free hand. It was cold, and sand fell from it onto Georgie's neck.
I think I want you, he said.
Georgie squeezed the hand he was holding to his chest and used it as an anchor to pull herself closer. You think? Neil licked his bottom lip and nodded.
I think.
The closer she was, the more he looked away.
I think I just want you, he said.
Okay, Georgie agreed. Neil looked surprised. He almost laughed.
Okay.
She nodded, close enough to bump her nose up against his. Okay, you can have me. He pushed his forehead into hers, pulling his chin and mouth back.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Really?
He said. Really, she promised. She reached her mouth toward his, and he twisted his head up and away, looking at her. He was breathing hard through his nose. He was still holding her cheek. Georgie tried to make her face as plain as possible. Really, you can have me. Because I'm good at wanting things and good at getting what I want, and I can't think of anything I want more than you. Really, really, really. Neil nodded, like he'd just been given an order. Then he let go of Georgie's hand and pushed her, pinned her, gently, firmly, back into the sand. He leaned over her, his hands on either side of her shoulders, and shook his head.
Georgie,
he said. Then he kissed her. That was it, really. That was when she added Neil to the list of things she wanted and needed and was bound to have someday. That's when she decided that Neil was the person who was going to drive on those overnight road trips, and Neil was the one who was going to sit next to her at the Emmys. He kissed her like he was drawing a perfectly straight line. He kissed her in India ink. That's when Georgie decided, during that cocksure kiss, that Neil was what she needed to be happy. They were all tired. Seth had finger-combed all the curl out of his hair. It was looking less JFK Jr., more Joe Piscopo. "We're not adding a gay Indian character," he said. "That's final." Scotty leaned over the table. "But Georgie said she wanted to add some diversity." "She didn't say she wanted to add you." "Romier isn't me. He's tall and he doesn't wear glasses." "He's worse than you," Seth said. "He's fantasy you." "Well, all these white guys are just fantasy yous." Seth abused his hair some more. "Fantasy me would never show up on this show. Fantasy me was already on Gossip Girl." "Georgie," they both said at once. "Romier can stay," Georgie said. "But this is a misfit comedy. He has to be short and wear glasses." "Why would you do that to Romier?" Scotty folded his arms. "Now he'll never find love." Seth rolled his eyes. "Jesus, Scotty, you'll find love. One, I'm talking about Romier. And two, I don't think you mean that." Georgie put her hand on Scotty's shoulder. "He'll find love, Scotty. I'll write him a dreamy boyfriend." "You'd do that for me, Georgie?" "I'll do it for Romier." "That episode better be fucking hilarious," Seth said. Scotty stood up and shoved his laptop in his backpack. "Romier stays," he told Seth. "I just made some Indian kid a star." "Congratulations, slumdog millionaire." Scotty walked out, head high. Seth was still frowning. "Does this mean we have to go back and write Romier into the pilot?" "He can start in the third episode," Georgie said. "You were just saying we needed a couple gay characters. You said our 1995 was showing."
"I know."
Georgie closed her laptop. "I know we said we'd take home scripts, but I don't know how much I'm going to get done tonight."
"Stay," Seth said. "We'll get dinner and work on it together."
"I can't. I have to call Neil." It was already 8 o'clock in Omaha. Georgie wanted to call him by 10. Seth studied her for a minute. Like the one thing she wasn't telling him was the only thing he didn't know about her. What would happen if she called Seth tonight from the yellow phone? Would she get the Sig Epp house in 1998? Would one of his Saturday morning girls answer? Seth never talked about the Saturday morning girls now, but Georgie assumed the parade marched on.
"Thanks," he said, "for pushing through today. I know that something is seriously fucked up with you."
Georgie unplugged her phone.
"And it's killing me that you won't talk about it," he said.
"I'm sorry."
"I don't want you to be sorry, Georgie. I want you to be funny."
Chapter 17. By the time Georgie pulled into her mom's driveway, she was 100% sure that if she called Neil tonight from the yellow rotary phone, he'd pick it up in the past. Or that it would seem that way. That the grand illusion was going to hold. And she was 1,000% sure she was going to call him, even though that might be dangerous, if it were real. Georgie needed to pick a side, real or not real, and stick with it. She had to call. You can't just ignore a phone that calls into the past. You can't know it's there and not call. Georgie couldn't anyway. Whatever was happening, this was the role she'd been given. Neil wasn't the one with the magic phone that could call into the future. God, maybe she should test that theory. She could ask him to call her back. No, no way. What if her mom answered and started talking about Alice and Numi and divorce? What if Georgie herself answered the phone back in 1998 and said something horrible and immature and ruined everything? 1998 Georgie clearly couldn't be trusted. Heather opened the door to the house before Georgie could knock.
Is there a pizza coming? Georgie asked.
No.
Georgie stayed out on the stoop.
Baked ziti,
Heather said, rolling her eyes.
Just come in.
Georgie did. Her mom and Kendrick were eating dinner in the kitchen.
You're home early, her mom said. I made a Caesar salad if you're hungry, and there's puppy chow for dessert.
The pugs started barking under the table.
Not for you, little mama,
Georgie's mom said, leaning over to make eye contact with the pregnant one.
This puppy chow is for big mamas and daddies. Little mamas can't have chocolate.
I swear, Kenny, they understand everything we say.
Heather was standing to the side of the front door, pulling out the curtain so she could peek out at an angle. They were all completely over the fact that Georgie was here. Even the dogs had stopped tracking her every movement with their little whiteless eyes. Georgie could probably move back home without ever having to talk to her mom about it. Her mom would just start thawing out one more pork chop for dinner and complaining when Georgie left her bag on the table. Maybe her mom thought she'd already moved back home.
Thanks, Georgie said, heading for her room. I'm not very hungry.
Are you coming out later? Her mom called after her.
No, Georgie shouted back. I'm calling Neil.
Tell him we said hello and that we still love him. Tell him he'll always be a part of this family.
I'm not telling him any of that.
Why not?
Georgie was halfway down the hall.
Because he'll think I'm crazy.
She opened her bedroom door, then quickly closed it behind her, then thought about pushing a dresser against it. Instead, she rushed over to the closet and started emptying things out into her room. She'd buried the phone at the very bottom, under an old sleeping bag, a few rolls of gift wrap, her rollerblades from grade school. There it was.
There.
Georgie fell back on her heels and stared at the phone, not sure if she should touch it, not sure if she should rub it 3 times and make a wish. She picked up the receiver and held it to her head. No dial tone. Well, of course no dial tone. It's not plugged in. It's not plugged in to the space-time portal in the wall behind my bed. Cue maniacal laughter. She crawled over to her bed and shimmied underneath to plug the phone in, half expecting the outlet to zap and spark. Then she pushed out again, untangled her hair from the bed springs, and leaned against the bed with the phone in her lap. Right. Here we are. Time to call Neil. Neil. Georgie held her breath while she dialed his number, then choked when he picked up on the first ring.
Hello?
Neil?
Hey,
he said. She could hear the quarter smile in his voice, the one that just barely dented his cheek.
I thought it might be you.
It is, she said.
It's me. How are you?
I'm... Georgie closed her eyes and realized she still hadn't properly exhaled. She did it now, bringing up her knees and setting the phone on the floor beside her. This was Neil. He was still here. He was still taking her calls. Better now, she said, rubbing her eyes into the back of her wrist.
Me too,
he said. And God, that was good to hear. God, he was good to hear. Georgie and Neil had never spent this much time apart, not since they got married. She was going crazy not talking to him every day, not checking in with him, in the present, in real life. Was that what was going on here? Was Georgie hallucinating these phone calls because she missed Neil? Because she needed him? She needed him. Neil was home. He was base. Neil was where Georgie plugged in and synced up and started fresh every day. He was the only person who knew her exactly as she was. She should tell him about this magic phone insanity right now. She could tell him.
She could always tell Neil anything. Georgie and Neil were bad at a lot of things, but they were good at being on each other's side. Neil was especially good at being on Georgie's side, at being there when she needed him. She thought of all the times he'd stayed up late to help her with a script, the way he'd lived at her right hand after Alice was born, when Georgie was depressed and in pain and terrible at breastfeeding, the way he never made her feel crazy, even when she was acting crazy, and never made her feel like a failure, even when she was failing. If there was anyone she could tell about this, it was Neil.
Georgie, did I lose you?
No, she said. Jesus, she could not tell Neil. I'm here.
Tell me about your day.
Well, first I unplugged my magic phone, then I got into my electric car. I worked with Seth on Passing Time, Georgie said, because it was the only true thing that seemed safe to say. She immediately wished she could take it back. Mentioning Seth was like flipping Neil's off switch. That was as true back then as it was now. All right, so maybe she couldn't talk to Neil about everything.
Ah,
he said, his voice noticeably cooler. What about you? She asked. He cleared his throat. She could hear him consciously letting the annoyance go. Neil still did that, too. The irritation would freeze on his face. He'd gather it up, then shake it off.
I helped my mom bake more cookies, he said. She set some aside for you.
Thanks.
Then I ate them.
Bastard. He laughed a breath.
And then I met that guy my dad wanted me to meet. The guy with the railroad police.
It took a second for that to click. Neil's dad's friend. Railroad police. Right. There was a job Neil had thought about, never seriously, back in Omaha. I still think you're making that up, she said.
I'm not making it up.
Railroad detectives? It sounds like an hour-long drama on CBS.
It sounds really interesting, Neil said. Like all the best parts of police work, the thinking and the problem solving, but not having to walk a beat or answer 911 calls.
This week, on Railroad Detectives, Georgie teased, the team discovers a cache of sleepy hobos.
Something like that.
Is the railroad looking for oceanographers?
No, thank God. Mike, my dad's friend, said it didn't matter what my degree was in, that any background in the sciences would help.
Oh, Georgie said. That's great. She tried really hard to mean it.
It was good,
he said.
Then I came home, ran into Dawn, and ended up getting ice cream with her.
Jesus. Neil's whole day had been a life without Georgie dress rehearsal. Dawn, she said. That's great. I bet Dawn thinks you should become a railroad detective.
And you don't?
I didn't say that.
What are you saying?
He sounded cool again. Nothing. I'm sorry. Just Dawn.
Are you jealous of Dawn?
We've talked about this, Georgie said.
No, we haven't.
Neil disagreed. He was right. In 1998, they hadn't.
You're not actually jealous of Dawn,
he said. Of course I am. She was your fiancée.
Only sort of. And I broke up with her for you.
You can't have a sort of fiancée, Neil.
You know I never even meant to propose to her.
That makes it worse.
Georgie, you cannot be jealous of Dawn. That's like the sun being jealous of a light bulb.
She smiled, but kept arguing. I can be jealous of anyone who got to you first. If I went down to the malt shop and shared a milkshake with my ex-boyfriend / sort of fiancé, you'd be jealous.
Right,
Neil snorted.
But I'm not supposed to be jealous when you spend every day with Seth.
Seth isn't my ex-boyfriend.
God, no. He's worse.
Rules, Georgie wanted to shout. Rules, rules, rules. Weren't all their rules already unspoken by 1998? You can't compare Seth to Dawn, she said. I was never sleeping with Seth. There was a loud click, someone picking up another phone. Georgie filled with panic, like she was in junior high and on the phone past curfew. She almost hung up. Georgie? Her mom sounded tentative. Who knows when she'd last picked up the landline? Yes, Mom? Did you need to use the phone? No, I was just wondering if you wanted some puppy chow. Thanks. Still no. Is that Neil?
It is, Neil said. Hi, Liz.
Georgie winced. Her mom used to insist that Neil call her Liz. After he and Georgie got engaged, she'd insisted on Mom, which initially made him really uncomfortable.
I feel like I'm cheating on my own mom, he'd said.
Just try not calling her anything at all, Georgie advised him. I got mad at her once when I was 14, and I didn't call her Mom for a year. Oh, honey, Georgie's mom cooed into the phone. It's still Mom. We're still family. Georgie was supposed to tell you that. None of this affects our feelings for you. Georgie could tell that Neil was speechless. Okay, Mom, Georgie said. Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Liz,
Neil said. Her mom sighed. Now, Neil, you tell your mother I said hello. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. In 1998, Georgie's mom and Margaret had never even met. Mom, Georgie cut her off. Neil and I were talking about something really important, and I just really need you to hang up now. Oh, of course. Neil, honey. Now, Mom, I'm begging you. If this went on much longer, Georgie would regress all the way back to toddlerhood. Her mom sighed. All right, I can take a hint. Goodbye, Neil. It was so good to hear your voice. If she even mentioned the girls, Georgie would start screaming. She would. She'd figure out how to explain it later. Goodbye, Mom. Her mom sighed into the receiver right until the second she hung up. Georgie wasn't sure how to recover.
So, Neil said, I guess your mom thinks we broke up.
She took a second to feel utterly relieved by his train of thought, then said,
I thought we did, too, up until a few days ago. But not now?
No, Georgie said. Not now.
No matter what happens, he said, I'm never going to call your mom, Mom. It's too weird.
I know, she said. I'll cover for you. Neil started a sentence, then stopped, then started again.
Georgie, I wasn't ever sleeping with Dawn.
But, Georgie stopped. Yes, you were. You were engaged.
I never slept with her.
Neil's voice dropped.
She wanted to wait until marriage. Her first boyfriend was a monster, so she reclaimed her virginity.
She reclaimed her virginity?
Leave it, Georgie. She can do whatever she wants with her virginity.
Right, Georgie said, nodding her head. Right. It doesn't sound like such a bad idea, actually. Maybe I'll reclaim mine before you come back, in the name of Queen Elizabeth. Neil sounded like he might have laughed. Because she was the Virgin Queen, Georgie said.
I got it.
Georgie was quiet. Neil had never slept with Dawn. She'd always assumed he'd had lots of fabulous young sex with Dawn, freshly scrubbed heartland teenager sex, sucking on a chili dog outside the tasty freeze, etc. Did that mean he'd never had sex with anyone but Georgie? She thought of their first time at Neil's apartment in the middle of the night, laughing
and fumbling with the condom, and Georgie wanting to get past this first time together so they could get to just being together, whatever that might mean. Was that Neil's first time ever? That's exactly the sort of thing he wouldn't tell her. Neil didn't like to talk about sex, and he didn't like to talk about before they were together, before Georgie. He didn't like to talk about yesterday. She thought of Neil, practically a teenager, pale as paper, all concentration and broken concentration, laughing through clenched teeth and touching her like she was made of glass. Neil. You can't be jealous of Seth, Georgie offered quietly.
Really?
He huffed. Really. That's like the sun being jealous of...
A comparably sized sun?
I was going to say the moon.
The sun probably is jealous of the moon, Neil said. It's a hell of a lot closer.
Seth and I are just friends, she said. It was true. It had always been true. Best friends, but just friends.
You and Seth aren't just anything.
Neil.
He's your soulmate,
Neil said. And the way he said it, it was like he'd already thought it through. Like he'd thought it through and through. Like he'd chosen that word intentionally. Georgie's jaw dropped against the receiver. Seth is not my soulmate.
Isn't he? Aren't you planning your life around him?
No. Georgie leaned forward. Even in 1998, that hadn't been true. No. God, I was planning my life around me.
Is there a difference?
Neil.
No, Georgie, let's just get it out there. I'm optional for you. I know that. I know that you love me. I know you want to be with me. But you can imagine your life without me. If I walk away from you now, if I don't come back, you won't have to adjust your grand plan. But Seth is your grand plan. It's obvious. I don't think you could imagine going 24 hours without him.
Are you asking me to?
No.
Neil sounded dejected.
No. I know what you guys have together. I'd never ask you to choose between us.
He never had. Neil had never liked Seth. That hadn't changed over the years. But he never complained about him. He never complained about all the time Seth and Georgie spent together, about the long hours or the middle-of-the-night texts, or the days when Neil and Georgie took the girls to Disneyland and Georgie ended up sitting on the curb in Critter Country, talking Seth through some script emergency over the phone. And Georgie was so grateful for that, for Neil's acceptance, even if it was just resignation. Sometimes she felt like she was walking a fine, precarious line between the two of them, like there wasn't enough of her to be who she needed to be for them both. If Neil pushed her or pulled her, if either one of them did, it would all come crashing down. Georgie would come crashing down. But Neil never did. He never seemed jealous. Pissed, resentful, tired, bitter, lost, yeah, but not jealous. He'd always trusted her with Seth. What would Georgie do if Neil did ask her to choose between them? What would she have done if he'd asked her back in 1998? She would have been angry. She might have chosen Seth just because Seth wasn't the one asking her to make the choice, and because Seth came first, chronologically. Seth was grandfathered in. Georgie hadn't known back then how much she was going to come to need Neil, how he was going to become like heir to her. Was that codependence, or was it just marriage? You could, she said.
What?
You could ask me to choose.
What?
He sounded surprised.
I don't want to.
I don't want you to either, she said. But you could.
Georgie, I've seen you two together. You can't even finish a joke without him.
Those are just jokes.
Really throwing around the word just tonight, aren't you?
You could ask me to choose, she insisted.
I don't want to,
he said, practically growling. I wouldn't even have to think about it, Neil. I'd choose you. I'd choose you again and again and again. Seth is my best friend. I think he'll always be my best friend. But you're my future. Never mind that this wasn't true yet in 1998. It was going to be true. It was inevitably true. You're my whole life. Neil exhaled. She could imagine him shaking out his head, blinking, resetting his jaw. Please don't be jealous of Seth, she whispered. He was quiet. Georgie waited.
If you promise me that I don't have to be jealous, Neil said finally, that I never have to be jealous, then I won't be.
You never have to be, I promise.
Okay,
he said. Then, more firmly,
okay, I'm taking you at your word.
Thank you.
Now take me at mine, Georgie, for Christ's sake. I'm not in love with Dawn. I never really was. Even if you break up with me and crush my heart, I'm never getting back together with Dawn. I know that the world isn't flat now. I'm not going back.
So you're saying that if we break up, you'll definitely hold out for somebody better than Dawn? That's supposed to make me feel better?
You've ruined me for Dawn. That's supposed to make you feel better.
Neil, I want to ruin you for everyone.
Christ.
His voice got closer, like he was pulling the receiver against his chin.
You have. You don't have to be jealous of anyone, but especially not of Dawn, okay?
Okay, she said. He sighed.
Let's never do this again.
Do what?
Be jealous and crappy to each other.
It's easier for me than for you, she said.
Why?
Because you're right. Seth is worse than an ex-boyfriend. Seth isn't going anywhere.
Do I have any reason to be jealous of Seth?
No.
Then I'm not. End of story.
Georgie asked Neil more questions about the railroad detectives. She could tell he wanted to talk about it. Apparently, he'd been considering the job more seriously than she'd ever realized. She tried not to draw attention to the obvious problem with this career plan, that it would mean moving to Omaha, and Georgie was never going to move to Omaha. She was going to work in TV. Neil knew that. And TV meant Los Angeles. Part of her just wanted to tell him, this isn't going to happen. We stay in California. You hate it, but you grow your own avocados, so that's something. You like our house. You picked it out. You said it reminded you of home, something about hills and high ceilings and only one bathroom. And we're close to the ocean, close enough, and you don't hate it, not like you used to. Sometimes I think you like it. You love me by the ocean. And the girls. You say it sweetens us, pinks our cheeks and curls our hair. And Neil, if you don't come back to me, you'll never see what a good dad you are. And it won't be the same if you have kids with some other, better girl, because they won't be Alice and Numi, and even if I'm not your perfect match, they are. God, the three of you. The three of you. When I wake up on Sunday mornings, late, you always let me sleep in, I come looking for you, and you're in the backyard with dirt on your knees and two little girls spinning around you in perfect orbit. And you put their hair in pigtails, and you let them wear whatever madness they want. And Alice planted a fruit cocktail tree, and Numi ate a butterfly, and they look like me because they're round and golden, but they glow for you.
And you built us a picnic table. And you learned to bake bread. And you've painted a mural on every west-facing wall. And it isn't all bad, I promise, I swear to you. You might not be actively, thoughtfully happy 70 to 80% of the time, but maybe you wouldn't be anyway. And even when you're sad, Neil, even when you're falling asleep at the other side of the bed, I think you're happy too, about some things, about a few things. I promise, it's not all bad.
Georgie?